Our readings come from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, and we're reading from verses 35 to 48, and it's on page 895, if you're following in the Black Bibles. Be dressed ready for service and keep the lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Peter asked, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? The Lord answered, Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, My master is taking a long time in coming, and then begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. The servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded, and from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Lovely to see you. Psalm 130 says this, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. So we pray, Heavenly Father, our hope is indeed in you. Please, by your Spirit, help us to go on waiting for you as we look into your word now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder about your state of readiness. The alarm goes off. You've got to get out of bed. It's work or it's church. Are you ready? Are you ready? You're going to a friend's house on a Saturday lunch. Set time, taking the family. Are you on time? Are you the sort of person ready and eager, or you're dragging your heels? Or say it is actually approaching exam time. Here at Hornby High, we'll be in here for another few weeks, and then for the exam period, they turn this into the exam hall, and we'll be up in the admin block through November. So if you face exams, or when you faced exams, were you the sort of person that was ready for them, or cramming up to the last minute? Some of us have been through childbirth. When that moment arrived, were you ready for it? Bags packed, or did it sort of come upon you like a surprise? How ready are you generally as a person? I was chatting to Jamie and Adele. They're over in London for this month. And I asked how they're going. I think whenever you've got an 18-month-old, sleep is fleeting, wherever you are in the world. And it sounds to me like sleep is still fleeting, even over in London. Anyway, they're visiting lots of places. They're going to France this weekend, apparently. They're having a lovely time. I asked Jamie about fire station readiness. He works at Woolston Station. And he said to me, any call that comes in at whatever point of the day, we're supposed to be ready within 90 seconds driving out the door. 90 seconds. You know, you could be in the shower, you could be in the gym, you could be in your favourite book, you could be dead asleep. 90 seconds, there to be rolled. That's a pretty amazing sort of state of alert, wouldn't you say? He did say, actually, it means a unique kind of stress. Our passage today talks about readiness. But it's not a readiness for the routine things of life. It's a readiness to meet the Lord who's returning. Our passage asks us, are you ready for him when he comes? The Bible teaches us to expect that he's going to return. The creeds we say, he will return to judge the living and the dead. And a number of us are aware of this and do indeed pray, come, Lord Jesus. But I don't want to assume that everyone is up with the play on this. Everyone's on board with this. In fact, I'm reading the Bible with a couple of people at the moment, and I think it's fair to say they've not taken the time to think about such things ever. So I just want to ask the question, are you ready to meet Jesus when he comes? The Bible teaches that this is so. If you know it to be so, do you believe it? It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to actually hold it and say, yes, yes, actually, I do think he's coming. If a friend were to ask you, well, so do you believe that the Lord Jesus is returning? How do you answer? The reason we believe it to be true is because God teaches us over and over and over that he will return. And in today's passage, Luke 12, verse 40, you must be ready, for the Son of Man will come. And so the question for us is, are we ready for him? Now, as our series continues in Luke, this passage, I think, aims to ready us. It aims to help us be ready. And it not only teaches and reminds us of his coming, it prepares us for his coming. So it's one thing to say, well, I know that he's coming, I believe that he's coming. How do I get ready? What does it mean to be prepared to meet him? This passage helps us. It's really wonderful. And it helps us in two ways. I've put these two headings in the news sheet. By waiting expectantly and serving faithfully. They're the two headings, I think, that capture the passage. I briefly want to touch on the first, waiting expectantly. I want to spend more of our time on the second, serving faithfully. So the Son of Man is coming. How to be ready? Be waiting expectantly, I think is the first answer. Verses 35 to 41. Let's have a look at that briefly, where the Lord gives us three little images of what it means to be waiting expectantly for him. The first there is got to do with clothing. It says, be dressed for service. If some of you have a King James Bible, I think, at home, or you use it sometimes. If you were reading your old English, it would say, gird up your loins. You think, what on earth does that mean? Well, they used to wear robes and they'd gather up their robes and tuck them into their belt so that they were ready for action. Or in this case, ready for service. Ready for serving him. Be ready. That's the second image. Keep your lamps burning. In other words, don't drift into that sleepy thinking that because he's delayed, that means his return has been cancelled. It hasn't. Be alert to his coming. Awake, ready. Third image, it likens a group of servants who are alert and waiting. The idea of a master who's delayed at a wedding feast. There's a good reason for his delay, I think, is the implication. And these servants are ready and waiting so that when his car rolls in the drive and knocks on the door, they're immediately opening up. Thrilled to see him. He's been delayed for some good reason. Now he's here and they're waiting expectantly for him. Notice the incentive that he gives to be doing so, verse 37. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Notice what he does. Look at what this says in verse 37. Truly, you think, can this really be right? Yes, Truly, I tell you, he will, well, like that same idea, gird up his loins. He will dress himself for service, and he will come, have them recline at table, and he will wait on them. This is extraordinary. You don't normally expect the great ones to come and roll up their sleeves for lowly service. He promises to do just this when he comes. He promises to serve you who are waiting for him. What an incentive to be doing so. And verse 38 to 40, which I'll just summarise, the point is, so don't be caught out by his delay. Don't be unprepared. Be waiting expectantly for his coming. The precise timing is uncertain. Sometimes Christians get really worked up about working out all of the details so that they can pinpoint the time. But if there's one thing that's... His return is sure. The one thing that is not sure is the timing. No one knows the day or the hour, Acts chapter 1. What we can know for sure is he's coming. Be ready. Be ready. Well, the Apostle Peter breaks in at this point to clarify. Jesus, who are you directing your words to here? Is this a message for the apostles? Is this a message for all disciples? Is this a message actually for everyone in the crowd? Because the context here is a massive crowd that are gathering. And sometimes he talks to the whole crowd, sometimes to the disciples. So who's this message for? Now, Jesus gives an indirect answer in verse 42. But his answer in the end, as we'll come to see, is basically, yes. Who's it for? Apostles? Disciples? Crowd? Yes. Yes, this is for you. Yes, this is for all. Everyone, be waiting expectantly. And he goes on in verses 42 to 48 to explain how we can be ready for him. Just before we go to there, it's worth us hearing Jesus in verse 40. I don't want to assume that you've given his return a lot of thought. Many of you have, it's fine. But I don't want to assume that we all have. So, please hear verse 40. This is for you this morning. You must be ready, for the Son of Man will come at an hour that's not expected. Be ready. We don't want to be floating on the tide, falling asleep, thinking that his delay means he's not coming. Every other word in the Bible that he promises proves true. So we can trust him on this word, he will come. And so this maybe gives us a reminder. Maybe this is a new thought for some of us here this morning. He's coming. Be ready. Maybe this is just a wake-up call, a clarion call, a clear reminder. You personally need to be ready, and I personally need to be ready. We all do. So the question this passage raises is, are you ready for him? Well, that's the first section. Let's now move to the second, where he teaches us how to be ready. And in short, I think the answer that we'll see is by serving him faithfully. And that's our second heading. But there's this indirect answer to, like, he answers Peter's question with a question. That's an indirect kind of way of speaking, don't you think? I was recently talking to a Kiwi guy who's had the, what would you say, misfortune or fortune of employing an Australian? He's had an Aussie move over and he's employed him, okay? So, and this Kiwi guy was making the point, Kiwis prefer indirectness in relating. But Aussies are like, sort of hit you between the eyes, blunt, direct when it comes to relating. Jesus' reply to Peter is not blunt. I think if Jesus were talking to Aussies here, he might have said, yes, of course I'm talking to you. Have you got something wrong with your ears? Like the sort of direct approach. No, he doesn't do that. He takes the indirect approach by asking this question. Why does Jesus do that? Well, it's something to think about as we step through this next section. What we get is four different types of leaders here. But we haven't changed topics, can I just say. This connection is related to the previous section via Peter's question. So Jesus is answering Peter, and Peter's picking up on what he's just said, be ready. And it's clear that we're still on the same topic because the master has put someone in charge while he's away. There's a delay. Or verse 45 talks about a master taking a long time in coming. So we're still on the big topic of be ready for him to return. Just that we're now thinking about leaders, four different kinds of leaders. And the focus here on leaders is, I think, because what God wants in a leader reflects exactly what God hopes for in his church. And by leader, we're talking more than just the ordained Anglican minister or the clergy. It refers to anyone who exercises some kind of responsibility among God's people, like growth group leaders or Redeemer church leaders, kids church leaders or vestry leaders. We're talking about leaders in general. And Peter asks his question, who are you talking to? And Jesus replies, well, who's the faithful and wise manager? And proceeds to give four different types of leaders. Actually, it's a sort of spectrum. You get from the best leader to the worst, and then a couple in between. Let's step through these four, and then let's think about our overall response to the passage. What's the kind of leader that will help God's people be ready to meet Jesus when he comes? Let me read 42 to 44 again. The Lord answered, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them the food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing exactly that when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he'll put him in charge of all his possessions. Oh, one point to clear up just before we kind of look at these. I've been using the word leader. Actually, the Bible doesn't use that word very often. It more often uses words like manager, or steward, servant, minister. Where a leader is sort of more self-focused or blazing the path, come follow me. The servant, the steward, the minister is more concerned for the welfare of others on the path. Can I help you? Is sort of the difference there. Like a flight attendant on a plane, or a union shop steward on a factory floor, or a waiter serving guests at a wedding feast. The steward, the servant, the manager here is concerned for the welfare of others. And it's a steward that Jesus talks about here. A faithful and wise one. Notice the emphasis on character, dependable here. One who reliably does what's expected when no one's looking. With a mind engaged for their good. So a faithful and wise steward. And notice the characteristic action of this one in verse 42. He takes the food provided by the master for the health and sustenance of his people, and he gives it out, the right quantity at the right time. What's the food provided by the Lord that these stewards give out? Well, in John chapter 21, the Apostle Peter is told to feed my lambs. Three times, feed my sheep. What does that mean? Well, Peter himself goes on to talk about in Acts chapter 6. We must give ourselves to prayer and to the serving of the word. So I think the food that we're to understand here is the word God has provided. The word that God has spoken has been written for us. In other words, the stewards, the servants among God's people, open his word for the people's good, for our feeding, for our life with God. And that's why here at our church, one of the things we set ourselves to do is to be more than Bible-believing. Lots of churches say we're Bible-believing. Yeah, but we want to be Bible-using, because if we're using the word, we'll absolutely be believing it. And so we look to use it when we meet. Which is not actually trying to be all intellectual or staunch adherence of the truth. No, actually, we want to be humble servants fed by God, that we might serve him faithfully in life. That's why we major on the ministry of the Bible in our church. Now, this whole indirect business, why does he put this as a question to Peter? I think he's inviting us to agree. Who's the faithful and wise steward of God's people? Isn't that the one who serves the word to God's flock at the right amount, at the right time, the right way? Oh, yes, of course. And Jesus agrees that it's a good thing. Verse 43, yes, it will be good for the master to find such a servant because this serving the word helps us all be ready to meet him. As we look into this word, we're prompted by the question, are you ready? We're prompted by the promise of the gospel that he makes us ready. This word helps us. It's for our good, for our sustenance. And there's even a reward here, verse 44, for faithful and wise stewards. They're rewarded. Truly, I tell you, he'll be put in charge of all his possessions, rewarded with more responsibility among God's people. It says over his possessions. I take it that means in the new creation. He doesn't elaborate. So to be trustworthy now is to be entrusted with even more then. What a great incentive to be trustworthy now. A faithful and wise manager. Okay, well, there's the best. That's the one that the Lord wants that will enable his people to be ready to meet him. Now we go from the best to the worst. Verse 45 and following. This wicked servant who misuses his place and abuses God's people. This is not the guy that helps God's people be ready to meet him. And as some, let's have a look at him, a bit more detail, verse 45. As some might do today, this fellow thinks that delay in the Lord's return means the cancellation of his return. Have you fallen into that trap? Easy trap to fall into. And look at what happens. Look at what's connected. When you start thinking, oh, he's not going to come, you quickly think, oh, there's no judgment. So you quickly think, oh, there's no accountability. And so what does this guy do? He begins to beat the other servants, the little servants in the house. And he begins not only to beat them, abuse them. He then takes what is theirs and gorges himself fat and full on what is for them. Gorges down their food, chugs down their drink to the point of drunkenness. Here is the opposite of what the Lord wants from stewards and managers of his people. And if only this were astonishing to us, sadly, we can put names in this column. Reckless, abusive, wicked men pretending to serve the Lord in his church. It's awful. God will not be mocked. And the Lord, he shows himself to be, I think, beautifully jealous for his people. By the way, he issues this severe condemnation. He will be cut to pieces. That is, cut out of the body like a cancer. No longer part of the body of Christ. Assigned a place among the, what does it say, unbelievers. Ministry among God's people is a trust to steward, not a treasure to exploit for personal gain. And I just noticed the connection there between thinking about his return and how I live. Notice the connection. If he's not going to return, I'll act unaccountably. If I'm acting unaccountably in private or in public or whatever, it might just be that I've not grasped that he really is going to return and that I really do need to be responsive to him. Well, we go from the best to the worst. Now we speak, there's two other servants in between. Verse 47, a stubborn servant who knows what to do but doesn't do it. Followed by an ignorant servant, verse 48, who doesn't know how to serve and so leads God's people astray, sets himself to do what he thinks is right. Both of them receive a beating. It's hard to know what this beating refers to. A more severe beating for the one who knows, a less severe beating for the one who didn't know. So there is a kind of connection between knowledge and expectation and accountability. There is a reference in 1 Corinthians 3 of a ministry work being tested by fire and some of that work being burned up but the builder spared. Perhaps there's a connection between what Jesus says here and what Paul says there. It's hard to be certain. What is clear is that anyone who seeks to set themselves to be a servant among God's people is accountable to the Lord of the church. And servants with responsibility will answer to him who is the Lord when he comes. Greater knowledge and responsibility means greater accountability. That's the principle that we see here. And in passing, let me just say, it is depressing that of the four examples that we get, three of them are negative. There's a faithful steward, hooray, but then there's a wicked one, a stubborn one, and an ignorant one. That's pretty depressing. But it actually is a reality. Not every leader of a ministry serves in the way that the Lord intends. So often, a poor leader ends up leading a faithful member of God's church astray or into some sort of danger. It is helpful, I think, and I do commend our CCA diocese, having a safe ministry structure, giving us a system to follow if, God forbid, we should find ourselves with a ministry leader that's wayward, wicked. We don't want that. The Lord loves his people. But it is good that we've got this system so that if anything should occur, please God spare us, that there's a system in place that we can go and seek help. Peter's question, is this just for the apostles, the leaders? Is this for all disciples? Is this for everyone? Well, verse 48, we see it comes to mean for everyone because he says, to everyone who has been given much, much will be expected. So, has God given something to every single person?
Yes.
I think so. Life, breath, sunshine, food, sustenance. We could make a big list. And if you're a Christian, what has he given to the Christian in addition? Well, forgiveness, a place in his family, a certain future. And so the point is, from all that he's given us, he expects it to produce fruit. If you're a tree grower, a fruit tree grower, and you graft a branch into the rootstock, you expect that branch to grow, to put out leaves that eventually produce fruit. Just so with the Lord. What he's given us expects to see it produce fruit. And so I conclude, the Lord is coming. What are we to be doing? Waiting expectantly. How? By serving him faithfully. That's how. Faithfully serving him is the way to be expectantly waiting for him. And faithfully serving, what does that mean? Well, for leaders of the church, it means with Bibles open. And for the rest of us, that means taking and using what he gives to us and putting it to work in his service in a way that's possible for us. And serving him and his people and his mission. And it doesn't matter whether your portion is a little or a lot. The point is, whatever he's given you, put it to work, faithfully serving him. That's the way to be ready. So my question from the passage, are you ready to meet him? Well, if you're faithfully serving him, that's the way to be ready. Let's finish. Just think about five different ways of faithfully serving the Lord briefly. So faithfully serving him means turning and trusting him. If one of us here is yet to turn to the Lord and believe in him, well, faithfully serving him means first recognising him as the Lord and gladly turning to him with trust, with repentance, with faith. And if this is you, here's your chance. You can say today, Lord, yes, I do turn to you, trust you, receive you, repent of my sins, and please help me to faithfully walk with you ahead of your coming. That's the first way. Second way. Oh, a second way of faithfully serving is just turning up to church routinely, as so many of us do. praying, singing, engaging with brothers and sisters in Christ. Simply attending is faithfully serving. You're a big encouragement to your brothers and sisters when you turn up and engage and sing and pray and show, yes, I still believe, and yes, I am waiting for him to come. Your being here, your interest in one another, your willingness to pray when the moment's there, wonderful. That's faithfully serving him. And as you do that, you're actually helping us to be ready to meet him. A third way of faithfully serving is in his mission, is opening God's word to people. It is easy to sort of draw back and not go to the, why don't we go to the scriptures together? Like it's easier to sort of sometimes think, oh, we'll just talk about generalities or general spiritual things. No, take people to the place where others are fed. Open the Bible. We want to be a Bible-using church. Light, life, food, sustenance is given to God from his word. So to those of you who are opening the Bible in your families or in your homes, to those of you who are attending growth groups and getting into the scriptures, to those of us who are reading the Bible one-to-one with others, God is feeding his people through such a process. It's wonderful, and it's a way of faithfully serving him. Fourth, I notice that the Apostle Peter broadens this to using whatever gift he's given us in his service. 1 Peter chapter 4, let me just turn there for a second, where Peter picks up on this idea of, well, he says, the end of all things is near, therefore be alert and sober that you may pray. In other words, be ready to meet him. And he goes on to say, 1 Peter 4 verse 8, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in all of its kinds. So whatever gift you've been given, maybe it's a gift of calling people on the phone. Maybe it's a gift of praying for others. Maybe it's a gift of caring through providing a meal. Whatever gift it is that he's given you to, be using it as you're able to, at your age and stage, as opportunity, use what he's got to serve him faithfully. Because as you do so, you're helping us be ready to meet him. And so many of us are doing exactly that. Keep it up. Keep it up as you visit, as you cook, as you pray for, as you look out for, as you follow up. You're helping us be ready to meet him by your faithful serving him. Finally, please notice, he is the one who serves us first and last. Our service of him, with all of its high points and low points and so on in between, is bookended by his service of us. He comes from God to serve you. He comes to make God known to you. He comes to die on the cross for you. His own blood shed for you. He serves you. And it says he will return and come and serve you at his coming. Isn't that amazing? Your service of him is bookended by his service of you. So there's no reason why we can't go on faithfully serving him. There's no reason why we ought not to be ready to meet him. It's really a question of our willingness. And so therefore, let's turn and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, the one who came to serve, to seek, to save the lost by his death and resurrection. We thank you for his costly service of us, and we thank you for the promise of his return and the way that he'll serve us when he comes. What an incentive. So therefore, help us, Lord, to be faithfully serving him in the present, and so helping both our church and others be ready to meet him when he comes. Father, we need your Spirit's help and power to this. Please would you help us, and please would you use us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.